And now, live from Level 5 Productions on the island of Milleronia, it's the Larry Miller Show! Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and everyone who really likes a good hot dog. And boy, is there plenty to tell you about that. Hiya, folks, and welcome back to the Larry Miller Show. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And boy, is it beautiful today. Colonel Jeff and I are back on the mainland, and we couldn't be on Milleronia today, and I'll tell you why. Not now, but I'll be telling you in the next 23 to 43 minutes, whatever that comes out to. Boy, it's just gorgeous here today, though. And, well, you know, the music always makes me feel wonderful, always makes the Colonel feel wonderful. And, well, my dog Ozzy, and I never know how Maggie feels about the music there. I think she just accepts it just before trying to kill Ozzy. I think she's not trying to kill him. That's just playing, as my wife says. And she's right. She knows all about these things. It's just playing. Doesn't look like it to me, but it looks like, well, jousting, a death match. But I don't say that. You know, I can say that to you. But boy, that music makes me feel great. And of course, that's the Keith Jackson Orchestra and the Anime Haze Dancers, featuring boy tenor Mike Lucking, asking the musical question, is making turkey soup after Thanksgiving the culinary equivalent of the five fecta? Good question, Mike. Boy, pulls a couple of things right out of the good trunk. And yes, Mike, it is. Let me tell you that first. It is the culinary equivalent of the five fecta. And let me tell you folks a couple of things about what Mike brought up. First, turkey soup is really good. I don't know if you even know that, but it's great. After Thanksgiving, you take the leftover bone and some leftover meat and leftover vegetables and some noodles. And you know what? Colonel Jeff was reading that and it sounded so good to me and to him too. We both looked at each other and said, any place around here serve that? I mean, it sounded like a great lunchtime thing. Big bowl of, well, fresh turkey soup, meaning made from leftovers. But boy, oh boy, you know that. But that's something, and that Mike was getting at. That is, what about making turkey soup after Thanksgiving? And you see, we're talking, I think, now about stuff that's made from. Well, it's ready to be thrown out, but if you cook it right, you can make something delicious out of it, from junk to fancy food and great soup. And Mike mentions the five fecta. You know what, Mike? That was in my head over the last week, but it's a really good homespun thing to do. The five fecta. And see, this is what we began to do here with soap. And every time a bar of soap got too small to use in the shower, instead of throwing it out, we took five of them and melted them down to a big bar of leftover soap. Now, one of you wrote in about how to do that, how to melt the bars down in a pot. But Colonel Jeff's friend, Frank, had a better idea. He said he imagined me being Superman and just putting the five bars in my hands and crushing them down till they became diamonds. Well, I think Mike is pretty sharp there. That's close to something a lunatic would say, but he's a friend of yours. I mean, thank you, Frank. And by the way, that opening starts and mentions people who need and deserve two important obituaries. Anna Mae Hayes was the United States Army's first female general. Now, that's pretty great, isn't it? Now, she was a frontline nurse. She lived, by the way, from 1920 to 2018. And that was just a few days ago. She enlisted in the nursing corps for World War II. served in the jungles of India and Korea and Vietnam. She was promoted to general June 11, 1970. She retired in 71. After her retirement, she said, "If I had to do it all over again, I would do it longer." Well, this is quite a woman and quite a general, folks. And I'm proud she was ours on both counts. So, you know what? And, by the way, the wonderful Keith Jackson, holy mackerel, Keith just passed away a couple of days ago, and I think he was the greatest and most beloved sportscaster in America for 50 years. He, what a guy. He was from Georgia, and he enlisted as a Marine, and he was everywhere. And he fought. He did everything well. And he hosted a great many events when he got into announcing, but he was known as the voice of college football. And I thought he was great, and so did the Colonel. You know, just that was that voice, you know, backwards and forwards to hear that, "Whoa, Daddy." And my favorites were, "Whoa, Fumble." And, you know, he called the Rose Bowl the granddaddy of them all. "Oh, whoa, Nelly," one of the great ones of, "Oh, Doctor." Now, if you're not a Keith Jackson or college football fan or sports fan or anything fan, really, you might say, "Well, I don't know about all that." Well, I do, and so does Colonel Jeff. Boy, folks, what a great man. And everything he said felt natural. That's the main thing. And he thought that a lot of the young announcers today just talk too much. They said they yak too much, and they just distract people from the game. I feel that backwards and forwards. I absolutely agree with him on that. You know what? It's enough already. Just put a sock in it. And Keith was great at that. Whew. He was elegant and completely in charge. And he lived right near me. I didn't know that till I read his obituary. 50 years in the same house, he and his wife and their kids. Oh, boy. Oh, Nelly. Well, I think he's great. I'm glad about Anna Mae Hayes. God bless you, Anna. Keith, boy, oh, boy. I think you're the granddaddy of them all. And by PayPal. That's right, PayPal. You know what? What a great group they are. You work with PayPal, and you feel like you're saving the world. Who knows? Maybe you are. What you do is, if you want to get to PayPal, well, it means so much to work with them. If you enjoy my show, and why wouldn't you, and you'd like to send us a few bucks here to help out, and why wouldn't you, you can do it through PayPal. And instead of saying donate or pay what you like, I always like to say buy us some drinks. That's right, because there are different levels. So there's level 1 through 5 all the way up to...
We're driving to Florida!
I was just thinking that would be one of my call signs. Well, it is here, I guess, come to think of it. We're driving to Florida. I mean, instead of, whoa, Nelly. Oh, Keith, God bless you. But you know what? Do that. What you want to do is you could go to PayPal any way you like, on your computer, your iPhone, anything like that. But don't do that. Don't bother with that. Go to us. What you do is you go to my website here, which is LarryMillerPodcast.com. Who's on the mountain, Tom Mix? I love the things Colonel Jeff picks. You know what, though? What you do is you go to our website, and we have a banner on there that says PayPal. So you go to that, click that, we'll get you there. And then you just go take a nap, you know, lie down. Lay yourself down in your big favorite easy chair, and who knows, you can turn a game on if you want, or make a sandwich and take that into the den with you, but Boy, oh boy, sometimes a nap is the greatest thing in the world. I think you might just want to leave it right there. So, thanks, folks. You know what? Every little bit helps us keep the old leg lamp lit here. And thank you to everyone who's really all contributed already. It means a lot and always will. And that brings me to my favorite part of the show, the joke of the week. That's just hit me again. Why bongo drums? You know, and I love that you picked it. But I mean, to us folks, you know, why does to our ears does that sound like, well, you know, carrying on or a little crazy? And, you know, when you saw scenes in movies from the 60s of, well, they went to a bachelor pad and they were all by the pool or something like that. The Oak Ridge Arms apartments where they were all single there and they were doing, well, the women were beautiful. That's not a shock, but I mean beautiful. And they were all in two-piece bathing suits, not crazy bikinis, but two-piece bathing suits, barefoot, and they're doing the twist by the pool. Now, again, that's another one of why that? I don't know. And they were doing it with the other fellas who lived there. Why, again, I don't know. But I love those so much. And I think I've mentioned this before, but my friend and I always loved that in the background of that scene by the pool, they're dancing and somebody's by the barbecue there cooking up some burgers and some hot dogs. And then there's someone who's just, well, you know, juggling Indian clubs. I always loved that. My friend and I thought, that's the greatest thing in the world. He was there in his bathing trunks, by the way, and he was barefoot too, but juggling three Indian clubs. I still don't even know what that means, but it's the same thing as the bongo drums. Well, you know what? Sure you juggle the Indian clubs. Why? Who cares? Shut up and go away. Because you do. You need to have fun like that with bongo drums and Indian clubs. At any rate, this is a terrific joke, and Colonel Jeff and I hope you like it and pass it on, as always, to your friends and loved ones. That there was a guy lived in the suburbs, and he got up. He was into being fit. He loved it. And just twice a week, Saturday and Sunday, he would get up at 5 in the morning, and he would get... He didn't wake his wife up, and he would tiptoe out of the room and put his stuff on and get his bicycle from the garage and head out for a big bike ride. And, oh, he loved it, and he would go up and down the hills and just, you know, and he stayed out. He usually got back to the house around noon, and boy, oh boy, he loved it. And, by the way, never missed a day. It didn't matter what it was there. It could be raining, snowing, nothing mattered. And hot, cold, it didn't matter. He went out there and he was on that bike every Saturday and Sunday. And sure enough, the odds are it happened that one Saturday, well, there was a hurricane and was coming through and it was terrible. And it was not only windy and horrible, but dangerous and really, well, just far worse than just cold and far worse than just snow or rain. It was horrible. And he said, well, I can't miss my workout on the bicycle. And he took it out. You know what, folks? He had to miss it. He just got a few feet down his garage, the driveway there. And he said, oh, this is crazy. Okay, this is just nuts. And, well, he was all right. So you take it in, take a bike back in, you close the garage door, and he came in and, well, washed up and just put his pajamas back on and snuck into bed there. And he just, you know, whispered. His wife was still asleep. He said, it's a little crazy out there. That's all. And she was just barely starting to wake up, and she said back to him, yeah, and to think that idiot husband of mine is out there riding his bike in it. Now, we liked that joke a lot. Well, wait a minute. So every Saturday and Sunday, she would invite a guy over. But you know what? That's just funny because you don't need in that joke or in jokes like that, you don't need to know what happened 5 minutes later. What was the next thing said of what? Wait a minute. Hey, wake up here. What? But I thought that's a pretty good joke, and I hope you do too, and I hope you pass it along. And that brings me to my second favorite part of the show, the Poetry Corner. This is a good one, folks, but written by the great Elizabeth Barrett Browning, who is, was British and one of the most prominent poets of the Victorian era. She lived from 1806 to 1861. She was very popular in England and very popular here in the United States. And unlike many poets, she was really popular during her lifetime. Everyone loved her, and so do I, and so does Colonel Jeff. And so here's a good one. It's called Patience Taught by Nature by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Oh, dreary life, we cry. Oh, dreary life. And still the generations of the birds sing through our sighing, and the flocks and herds serenely live while we are keeping strife with heaven's true purpose in us as a knife against which we may struggle. Ocean girds unslackened the dry land, savanna swards unweary sweep, hills watch unworn and rife, meek leaves drop yearly from the forest trees to show above the unwasted stars that pass in their old glory. O thou God of old, grant me some smaller grace than comes to these, but so much patience as a blade of grass grows by, contented through the heat and cold. Isn't that lovely? Elizabeth Barrett Browning, well, there's a reason, many reasons, she was so popular in her time. Anyway, thank you, Miss Browning. And that brings me to my third favorite part of the show. Triple M, MMM, Magic Movie Moment. This is a great movie, folks, and I hope you know it and will know it again or will be moved to go see it and get it. Oh, it's a great movie. Angels with Dirty Faces from 1938, starring James Cagney, Pat O'Brien, and Anne Sheridan, who's what a great actress she was, and gorgeous. James Cagney and Pat O'Brien were, well, handsome men, but not to me. I mean, I just thought they were great. And Anne Sheridan was great. But boy, oh boy, was she beautiful. And she falls for James Cagney in this. It's a great movie, folks. Oh, James Cagney plays Rocky Sullivan. And he and Pat O'Brien were best friends as a kid and growing up through kidhood and into adolescence. And Pat O'Brien and he were, well, they were starting to commit crimes together. And they would steal anything that was up there. And Pat O'Brien, well, he became a priest because he got away from the police. That, you know, one of those times, it has to end like this. It always comes to this. Good lesson to learn that he and Jimmy Cagney had stolen something. They're running from the police saw them. The police chased them. And they're running from the police. And Pat O'Brien he's fast, and he's a little faster than James Cagney. And he goes, he jumps a fence, and he hooks up onto, well, a railroad track. But James Cagney did it, and the police caught him. And he went to jail. Well, they were about 14 at the time. But that was it. That's where the two paths parted, and Pat O'Brien became a great priest and a tough guy in their tenement neighborhood. And James Cagney went to prison, and he gets out of prison eventually and, well, meets, but he is a tough guy. And all the tough guys respect him, and they know that, oh boy, you don't want to mess with this guy, with Rocky Sullivan. And Anne Sheridan is the same way, and she meets him and falls for him, and they fall for each other. And here's the magic movie moment. It's so wonderful, folks. Jimmy Cagney, or Rocky Sullivan, is trapped by the police in a house, and the police have all their cars out there, and all their men. And Rocky Sullivan is shooting at everybody's shooting at everybody, and Rocky's going to fight his way out, but he can't, and he kills a couple of cops along the way there. And he winds up, well, he's convicted, and he's sentenced to the chair, to the electric chair. I remember there was an old line of, this is from the 20s and 30s, that about Italian gangsters, they said, in New York, from Brooklyn or any of those places, they said, the line was, they either became priests or went to the chair. There was no in-between. And they're in the prison there, and Pat O'Brien comes by as the priest, and, well, they're, Rocky Sullivan is about to be executed. It's happening. It's right there. And they, Pat O'Brien goes to see him in his cell, and they have a final scene together of, how are you? And Rocky says to him, oh, I'm all right. They can't get to me, you know? And he says, they think I'm scared. I ain't scared. I ain't never been scared of nothing. So you know what? You know, I'll just spit in their face. And he's saying that, and the cops hear him. The cops know how tough he is. And then it's, they can't, and he says to Pat O'Brien, listen, I ain't going to break down. I ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to walk up there. And as I just so told you, said, I'll spit in their face. I said, go ahead. And they can tie me up. And Pat O'Brien says, but you see, Rocky, that's exactly what I'm going to ask you to do, is to break down. And so Cagney says, what are you talking about? What are you, crazy? It's what's number one, it's all I got left, and plus I ain't scared. And Pat tells him, the priest tells him, that all the kids who adored him from this tenement, the kids who became, by the way, the Bowery Boys, the folks you know from all their great movies, and they can't believe Rocky got caught, and they can't believe anything, and they're in their tenement. They have a little sort of a gang headquarters down there, but it's just really all broken down. And Pat O'Brien says to him, it's them I'm thinking of, you know, Rocky. They follow everything you do and everything you say, and they need a chance to get away. And Sullivan, you know, Cagney says, go on, I ain't going to do this, you know, that, you know, he says, ask me, go on, get out of that. You walk me down on the thing there, you know, and said, just think about it, Rocky. And they're the oldest of friends, and they do. They walk down, the last mile. And some of the other convicts are calling from their cells over to Cagney. They're going, you go get him, Rocky. And I can't break you, you know. And they're going, and Cagney, they were such great actors. And Cagney just has that Cagney look, that tough look. They're walking down. And folks, they've walked the last mile, and they get there to the electric chair. And the guards are going to put him in it and strap him in it. And they start to do that, and they start to pull him. And we see this, it's almost all in silhouette or shadow from the, and you suddenly hear Cagney's voice. Oh, no, no, no. Please don't. No, no, you can't. And we know what he's doing. He's doing what his friend asked him to do. He's breaking down and throwing away the only thing he really had left. But he's doing it for those boys. And he keeps going, I can't. Please don't. And we see Pat O'Brien. Oh, what a great actor. We see him, and he's dressed, he's the priest. He has his priest outfit on and the collar. And as Cagney is doing this, we see Pat O'Brien lift his eyes and look heavenward. And you see his lips moving. He's saying a prayer for his friend. And then sure enough, the light, oh, please, please, don't. And suddenly they pull that giant switch and it all goes silent. And I don't mind telling you, this brings tears to my eyes to tell it to you, but it's a good thing to have there when you're telling a story like this. And folks, sure enough, the next day, it's a sunny day in that part of Brooklyn, and Pat O'Brien, as the priest, goes to see those boys in that tenement building where they, well, where they hide things and where it's all just broken stones. And Pat O'Brien walks in as the father and the Bowery boys see him. Hey, look, it's the father. He was there, you know. Tell her, because they've been reading the newspapers and the account of what Rocky Sullivan did and how he broke down. Tell us, father, he didn't do that, did he? He couldn't have done that. And again, we know, you and I know, and the priest knows. And the priest says, you know, fellas, it's a hard world out there, and I can't remember this exact line. But then he says to him, and the boys, you can see, learned a lesson. You can see they're lowering their heads. Well, they're crushed by it. And Pat O'Brien puts his arm around a couple of them and says, come on now, boys. Let's go light a candle for a boy who couldn't run as fast as me. And folks, well, that really is a magic movie moment. But please listen to me. If you haven't seen this movie, Angels with Dirty Faces, starring James Cagney, Pat O'Brien, and Ann Sheridan, and so many others, and the Bowery Boys. If you haven't seen it, please go see it. You'll be glad you did. And if you've seen it like me, oh, brother, I can't wait to see it again now. It's another movie I've seen 25 times. And Colonel Jeff hasn't seen it yet, but he wants to see it now. And you know what? If there's anything a magic movie moment should be, that's it. Because sometimes, folks, well, we get disappointed. I mentioned the great hot dog before, because last week on the show I talked about what Colonel Jeff told me, that we went to Pink's. He went to Pink's. Oh, I've been there 1,000 times. And it's down on La Brea and near Melrose here in Southern California. And he saw Burt Ward there, who, among many other things, played Robin on Batman from the 60s. He was great, Burt Ward. And he's down at Pink's because, well, the 1966 Batman is having an exhibition at the Hollywood TV Museum. And to help promote that, the Pink's people, well, designed a hot dog for him, the Burt Ward hot dog. And that's great. And he went down there. And sure enough, he turns around and there's Burt Ward and his wife standing right there. And they shook hands. And Colonel Jeff said, get a load of this. And he was really happy. And, well, he got a Burt Ward hot dog. He told me about it. You know, it's a classic, by the way. And that's one of the reasons it intrigued me so much. It's a hot dog. It's a stretch hot dog, meaning it's not regular size. So it stretches another 2 inches past the end of one end of the bun there and 2 inches past the other end. And then what do they put on it? Mustard, relish, onions, and sauerkraut. Now, if you need more than that on a hot dog, I can't help you. That's just perfect to me. And if you don't want something, just say that. But, you know, as Colonel Jeff was saying to me, somebody wanted, his brother-in-law at a certain point had just said to him, you know, oh, I don't like onions, I don't know. Well, you want to say, well, shut up, then don't get it. But you know what? The way he talked about that hot dog, the way he described it to me, and I described it to you, I said to him, you know, boy, you free for lunch? Because I'd love one of those Burt Ward hot dogs. It sounds great. and he was busy doing another show here on the mainland. And I said to him, you know, I think I might just go up there and get one. It sounds terrific. And you know what? You never know how things. I've been to Pink's 1,000 times. I'm always happy there. And as Colonel Jeff pointed out, you go there because it's Pink's also. You go there because it's, well, world famous. As I think 1939 they started with just a cart with hot dogs in it. Well, it's just a great place. It's not a fancy place, but it's, well, it's fancy enough. And there's a lot of stars who go there. And they only had about 20 people in front of. Like the line at Disneyland, it goes one way, then you turn right, then it goes the other way, then the back the other way. And folks, I love that place, but I'm here to tell you also, they have to make what I want. They have to make it better. When I get, I forgot, but when I got there, I ordered the, yes, I'd like the Burt Ward hot dog, please. And I also ordered some onion rings that they fry fresh. Boy, oh boy. And I felt crazy. I was waiting there so long, and it was nothing wrong with that, by the way. But I mean, and I got chili fries, too, I ordered. And then when I got to the register, which was just around the bend a little bit there, folks, they made that Burt Ward hot dog first. They took the hot dog out and they put everything on it first. Then they wrapped it up in a piece of paper first. And then they put that Burt Ward hot dog on the orange tray first, before everything. And it sat there for 10 or 12 minutes while I walked the tray around and then got to the register. And then they brought me the other two, the fried onion rings and the French fries with chili, that they just made. They just put it in the trays there and in the little box that they did fresh, in other words. And they were right out of the oven. They're fresh and hot, hot. And I got around and paid for it, and I got a Coke too. But I couldn't stop thinking of the Burt Ward hot dog has been sitting there for 12 to 15 minutes. Why would they do that? And so I got it to the table there, and I said a little prayer, not for the hot dog, by the way, but just in general. And I took, you know, a bite. I picked up an onion ring, and it was great. It was hot, hot, hot. And I mean in spices, you know, I mean the temperature, hot. And then I took, I had a fork, and I got some chili on it with a couple of chili fries, and they were great, hot and hot. That only takes seconds. And then I opened up that hot dog, and I was happy to see it. I took a big bite, and it was cold, 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 cold. Why do we have to do this? And I love the place. I've been there, as I said, a couple of thousand times, and I'll go back, but I couldn't wait to see Colonel Jeff this morning to say, it's another case of what's wrong with these folks. The nicest people behind the counter there, and the men and women in their 40s and 50s, and can't you make the hot dog last? Why in God's name would you make it first? Take it out of the steam bin and make it, put everything on it, and that's not hot stuff. Relish, not hot. Mustard, not hot. Onions, not hot. Sauerkraut, not hot. And put them on there, and then wrap it up in just a piece of tissue-like paper, and it sits there for 15 minutes. Why would you do that? And you know what? I ate the hot dog, not all of it, because it was terrible. Because it was cold. And I went back and got to the, not back to them, but I went back on the little table I was where, you know, and then I had another onion ring and fabulous, still hot as could be. Oh, fabulous. Had a couple of those and then back to the chili fries. Fabulous. Hot. Hot as anything could be. And then Well, sure enough, just by good luck, my friend Jeff Garlin, whom you all know, is an actor and comedian. And he came by and he saw me, came by to sit down. He said, well, hi. I said, hey, good to see you, you know. So we talk because we like each other a lot. And he had, you know, good things on the tray there. And also someone who's not afraid to eat. And Pink's is the place you go. But, you know, folks, I didn't say anything out loud. I didn't say anything to the people behind the counter. Because what are you going to do? Then you sound like an idiot if you go over and say, why would you do this? Well, it's not what I wanted. I wanted a hot, hot dog. They're called hot dogs. Make them hot, please. You can do that. If they're sitting there, put the fries and the onion rings and the chili on when you get to the cash register, and they're brand new, fresh, and hot. And then, you know how long it takes to make one of the Burt Ward hot dogs or any of the great hot dogs there? 7 seconds. Then turn around, get the roll out of the heater, put a hot dog on it. You know the rest. Make the hot dog. Then. And then put it right on the, and then, and you pay for it, and you put it right on, then, and get it to the table. And that's what I wanted, and that's what I want. I'm going to, one of these days, I don't know when the next time I go back, Colonel Jeff and I, we're going to ask Dr. Chris to come there, and come on, we'll get a Burt Ward hot dog, and then we'll go see the 1966 Batman exhibition at the Hollywood TV Museum. And it sounded great, and it still sounds great, but I am not going to get another hot dog that's cold. I don't care where we go, or just if I can just say, please wait on this. Give me a big, thick, long thing, and then put a couple of things on it. But only when I'm at the register. Please, 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 please. And I was going to take my son, by the way, because he was just going back. My younger son was still here at home with us, and I was going to say, before he left, before I drove him to the airport, I was going to say, hey, you know what? Come on, let's go down to Pink's. You haven't been there yet, and we'll both get a Burt Ward hot dog. And I'll tell you about Burt Ward. But I didn't, because they were no good. Because they were cold. And he's someone else who likes a good hot dog, a hot hot dog. Well, one of these days. But you know what? Oh, boy, it was great having him home. And almost a month between semesters at his university there. And whew, it was just great. And I stayed up late for him. He would go out almost every night, see his old friends from high school, a couple of his old buddies. And they didn't do anything wild. They would go to one of their houses, and, I mean, there was no drinking or smoking or anything like that. And they would just, do what we would have done, which is get together and talk about girls. You know, I think that's a great way for old friends to spend the evening. But then, you know what? Staying up late for him, and when he would come home, he'd leave 8:30 or 9, go to one of his friends' houses there, the same guy, and he would get home, well, you could call it late, I guess, sometimes 3, 3:30. But for goodness sake, he wasn't working, he wasn't at school, and why not? Why the heck not? And when he was sleeping late, and I remember my wife would say, oh, is he still asleep? And I'd say, sure, why not? And she agreed. Good Lord, we envied him so much. He could be in bed and just roll over and go back to sleep. Till what, 11, 12, 1? Sure, why the heck not, folks? And the greatest part of his visit when sometimes I would stay in his older brother's room past about 1 in the morning because, well, my wife likes it with the air conditioning on, and she likes the TV on when we sleep. And, well, at that hour, it gets a little bit much to me. Sometimes it's a little cold, and we're very cold, like those hot dogs. And, you know, sometimes I'll just go into our older son's room, and it's nice and warm in there. And when my younger son would come in and I'd hear him, I'd hear the garage door opening and he'd come up the stairs. And he always, you know, well, walked by his room and to take a few things off. And I'd say, hi, honey. And he'd say, "Hi, Dad." And I said, "It's good to see you." And he said, "You too." And then he'd take his stuff off and put his pajamas on and go walk into the down the hall to the bathroom and wash up and brush his teeth and then walk past me the other way again. "Good night, Dad. Love you." And I would say the same thing. "Good night, honey. I love you." Folks, that may not sound like much, but it was the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, to do that night after night. And he told me at one point, a couple of weeks ago, when he was still here, that, you know, I like that you're up when I get back, and I like that you're, well, just making sure I got back, and 'cause I am. And folks, that's the way to be, and I hope it is for you too. If not now, someday. Because someone could ask you what the greatest day of the year you had was, and you would have no trouble saying that. That was the greatest day. Oh, it's nice to have a hot dog, sure. But that doesn't matter so much. But having a kid come back and glad you're up waiting for him and saying nice things to each other, folks, I know that's the best thing in the world. And so do you, because we know the same things, that Homer is Homer and Pluto is a planet. So remember, folks, as always, if you walked out of bed today and had a job to go to and a home to come back to and someone there who cares about you, folks, the game's over and you've won. I hope you get it all in the new year. And we'll see you here next time.